This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 30. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord.
When you reach a certain age, groaning becomes something. Yeah, you see, I can see a few people who know exactly what I'm talking about there. Yeah, if you haven't reached that age yet, believe me, it's coming. When you stand up, you groan. When you sit, no apparent reason, you just sit down and you groan. Chapter 8 of Romans has got a bit of groaning in it as well. We're continuing our ongoing series of the work of the Holy Spirit. Groaning is something that's mentioned actually three times in the chapter and once in the passage that we're looking at. Just to recap, we've got creation groaning for God to lift the curse that it's under because of our sin. A bit later on, Paul talks about the children of God groaning as we wait for the full redemption of our bodies through the work of Jesus. And now we've got the Holy Spirit groaning along with us as we struggle in prayer. Prayer, it's a challenge and a privilege, isn't it? Let's see what we can learn today from these few verses in Romans 8, verses 26 to 30. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at it under three magnifying glasses, if you like. Our weakness, the Spirit's work, and God's will. So, let's pray before we go any further, and then we'll take it from there. Lord God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, as we put our prayers under the Holy Spirit, we ask that you will empower us, that you will teach us through your word, that our prayer life may be just that bit more meaningful to us and just that little bit more productive as we engage with your will. We ask it in your name. Amen. So, how does the Holy Spirit impact our prayer life, your prayer life, and my prayer life? Well, first of all, let's just acknowledge that the Holy Spirit works best, I guess, in the context of our weakness. Verse 26 actually refers us back to the hope that we have of full adoption as children of God, which starts now, but obviously will be fully realized when Christ comes. And the Holy Spirit is at work in us now, assuring us of that hope, keeping that hope alive. That's important. But then Paul goes on in verse 26 and assures us also that the Holy Spirit gives us help in our weaknesses. In our weaknesses. If you look through the Bible, you come across very, very quickly and very easily people who were weak. Some of them are great, great heroes of the faith, the Old Testament. But the bottom line, they were weak, and I'm sure we can identify with some of those things. Take Gideon, for example. Remember Gideon, reluctant hero, how he was asked by God to put an army together to win a tremendous victory, and God continually whittled down the number. Gideon thought, great, I've got this number of people. And God says, no, hang on, you've got too many. And gradually reduces it and reduces it until there is no doubt at all about who is winning this victory. And it isn't Gideon, it's God. And under God, Gideon, in the Old Testament, was able to rout the enemy of God. And Paul picks up this idea, and it's something that we need to be reminded of sometimes. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, Paul points out that God's saying, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And Paul picks up an example of this weakness by launching into prayer here. Paul highlights that our prayer life could be and can be, and I'm sure if you're honest, is an example of where we are weak and where we need the Holy Spirit to bring his help. So he starts off to look and unpack this idea of weakness in our prayer. And the first area of weakness is we do not know. Now stop and think for a minute. We do not know. How do you and I know what we should pray for? And Paul acknowledges this as well. It's not easy to know what to pray for. Say, for example, I'm struggling financially. Should I pray for more money? Or should I pray for better financial management skills? I don't know what to pray for. Or a new opportunity presents itself. Should I pray and step out in faith? Or should I pray and wait patiently for God? It's difficult to know what to pray for. That video we've just watched, the Open Doors video, should we pray for Ayuba's protection? Or should we pray that he will stand strong in the face of death? Or should we pray for the total obliteration of Boko Haram? We don't always know what we should pray for. And Paul encountered this in his own life. You'll be familiar with the fact that Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't actually know what it was. It might have been somebody, or it might have been a personal illness. It might have been some condition that he struggled with in his body. We don't know exactly. But we do know that at least three times Paul begged God to remove the thorn in his flesh. And that seemed to Paul there were only the two alternatives. Please, God, remove this thorn in my flesh. Otherwise, I'm just going to soldier on, and my ministry is going to get weaker and weaker, and it ain't going to be the way you want it, God. And Paul prayed this prayer, please remove it. But actually, God had a third way for Paul, which he revealed to Paul, and the third way that God offered to him was to leave the thorn in his flesh, but to bless Paul with the grace to bear it. And as Paul found that grace growing in his life, that grace poured over onto other areas of his life as well. You see, Paul knew what he wanted God to do, but God had a different idea. And that's the dilemma that we have in our prayers. And I wonder if my prayer life and your prayer life is characterized by this weakness that Paul talks about. Do we get discouraged when we pray? Do we get weary when we pray? Do we even get bored when we pray? Because so often our prayers seem to be just the same old, we ask the same thing, and we keep coming back, and we keep asking. But we never seem to see the result that we want. We never seem to see the result that we expect. So, according to Paul, why is our prayer life such an area of weakness? And it's primarily because we don't know. What is it we don't know? Well, we don't know what God's will is. We don't know exactly what God's will is. See, God's will for Paul was different than Paul's will for Paul. Paul's will was to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. God's will was that I give you the grace, and you develop that grace, and you live in that grace. God's will for us isn't something that we are always fully aware of. Well, actually, how could we be? Because we are finite human beings, but God is God. I think it was an American theologian, a guy called John Piper, that said, God is doing 1,000 things in my life, but I only know 2 of them. You see, God's will is so much bigger. And that's why my prayer life can sometimes become frustrating. That's why my prayer life can sometimes seem as if I'm just talking into the air. But I definitely need help in my prayer life. And so, in Paul's, these few verses here in Romans, so enter the Holy Spirit. And verse 26, we're still in verse 26. We will go through the other verses quicker, but I will say. But in verse 26, the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, the word help here in English is a bit limp. But actually, the word help has underlying it the idea of sharing the burden. Actually shouldering the burden along with us. The same word is used, the same original word is used only a few times in the Bible, and it crops up in the Greek version of the Old Testament in Psalm 89, verse 21, where God says to David, my hand, or says about David, my hand will sustain him, surely my arm will strengthen him. Now, that's the sort of help we're talking about here. That's what the sort of help that Paul is talking about when he says the Spirit helps us when we pray. David didn't have the strength that he felt he needed. And so God took over the burden. A bit, if you like going up a moving escalator. Do you have a not moving escalator? Going up an escalator, moving stairs. You may be the sort of person who likes to climb as the stairs move. And that's great. But on some of those long, long, high escalators that you get, perhaps on the underground in London, you get weary after a while. But the floor keeps moving, and it keeps carrying you up. And that's the sort of help that the Holy Spirit gives us when we pray. He keeps us moving, even when we get a bit weary of it all. We have a part to play, but the Holy Spirit is there, and he's helping. And he's helping to move us along. That's the sort of help that the Holy Spirit gives. And incidentally, it's unconditional. You don't have to do anything to deserve it. Jesus said, didn't he, at the end of Matthew, I'm with you always to the end of the earth. Always. Unconditional. The Holy Spirit's help is there for you and me as we pray. And as we struggle with the weakness in our prayers, the Holy Spirit is there to help. So what form does this help take? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Now, the word intercede comes across now to us as speaking our behalf, speaking on our behalf, pleading our case, or standing in the gap. Now, notice here, who the Holy Spirit intercedes for. He intercedes for the children of God. That's who Paul's been talking about in verse 21. That means if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit is there to help, and his help takes the form of interceding, standing in the gap, helping with your prayers, helping, bringing his power to bear, pleading the case for you. It's a family affair. It's in the family. The Holy Spirit does this for the children of God. How does he do it? Well, he actually pleads our case, verse 27, with full knowledge of what's on our minds. You see that? He who searches, the one who knows what's on your mind, he's the one who is best placed to plead your case, to plead my case. And remember from 1 Samuel, for example, 1 Samuel verse 7, chapter 17, when they were looking for a king, and David didn't look the part, but it was reminded through that God looks at the heart. And if we have the Holy Spirit within us, then he knows what's on our minds. The Holy Spirit in me knows what's on my mind, and he reveals it to the Father. So God knows exactly what's on my mind. what's on our minds. The Holy Spirit pleads our case. And notice also, this is where the groan comes in. He pleads our case with feeling, with passion, with emotion. Not just some sort of barrister reading off a list of things. This Holy Spirit is actually actively, passionately, emotionally engaged in your life and my life. Wordless groans, it says, with passion and emotion. That is how the Holy Spirit helps. That is how the Holy Spirit gets to work on our prayer life. He intercedes for us. He stands and speaks on our behalf. So actually that makes prayer a very big deal. Because God, the Holy Spirit, feels my pain. He feels my anxiety. He feels my anger. He feels my frustration. He feels my fear. And Father knows, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. If you like, it's God praying to God. And at this point, my head explodes. But just think about it like that. The Holy Spirit, as God, searches my heart and is in the best position to know what's going on in my heart, in my deepest feelings. And he is best placed to use those in my prayer. The Father, and of course the Son, through whom we come in prayer anyway. Jesus, you know, opened the way for us to pray, because Jesus' death on the cross cleared out the blockage between us and God. Jesus opened the way. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And they know what is going on. I have the Spirit in my life. The Spirit knows what's going on. And I guess the longer one is a Christian, the one longer one has the Holy Spirit, the better the Holy Spirit knows us. You know how people, husband and wife perhaps, after they've been married for long enough, they know what each other are thinking without having to say words. Priscilla knows what I'm thinking much of the time without me having to say things. She can tell by the look on my face. She knows how I'm going to react. She knows, because we've been together for that long. And I know the same about her as well. And the Holy Spirit, intimately involved with you and me in our lives, he knows, and so the Father knows. He knows, and God knows. So you see, prayer is not a casual thing. We come in prayer because the Son has opened the way. It involves us in our weakness. It involves the Spirit within us who helps us by speaking on our behalf, and our Father who searches our hearts. Prayer is a big deal. Even if we make a very short prayer, even if you are somebody who just uses arrow prayers a lot, think about that. Remember that. Prayer is a big deal because it involves all three persons of the Trinity. And it involves the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So the Holy Spirit intercedes. Another way of thinking about it might be like this. The Holy Spirit actually... It's gone too far. Go back. There we are. The Holy Spirit edits, if you like, our weak words to bring them into conformity with God's will. If you like, I may be praying away, but actually what's happening is the Holy Spirit is going to the Father and saying, actually, what Dodman is trying to say is this. Now that's important, because the Holy Spirit takes my weak words and he puts them before the Father in a way that the Father understands and knows. We have at least two people in our church family who I will turn to if I need something editing. A while back, I had to write a document that PCC was going to use for something. And so once I'd written it, I passed it to Steve Atkins. Now, Steve Atkins is an editor extraordinaire. Steve knows when a comma is in the wrong place and is not in the wrong place. Steve knows when the word has been used wrongly and so on. And more recently, Andrew Bubir does the same, you know. Andrew Bubir, those two guys have real gift for editing because they pick things up. And the Holy Spirit's a bit like that. He edits my prayers. He edits what I want to say. Picture it also like this. You know, a mother who has a young toddler who hasn't actually fully learned to speak yet. But that toddler is making noises and making sounds. And you look at them and you think, what on earth are they going? But the mother comes and says, what they're actually saying is this. Because she knows she's been with that child since before it was born. And she knows what it's saying. She can interpret. She can edit what the child is saying. And, you know, we need the Holy Spirit's help like that. Because when we pray, we don't know how to pray in conformity with God's will. And that's the problem, isn't it? We don't have a full picture of God's will. Because as Paul says in Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 34, Paul says, well, who has known the mind of the Lord? How could any of us claim to know God's will? We don't know God's will, but the Holy Spirit does because he is God and he brings this foreknowledge to bear in our prayers on our behalf. So, God's will, praying in accordance with God's will. Let's just have a few moments on God's will. Verse 28, first of all, God's will is good for those who love him. God's will is good. The problem is, you see, my default start point when I pray is not actually to try and discern what God's will is. And it should be. Our start point when we pray should be to try and discern and pray into God's purpose. My natural tendency when I pray is that I know what's best for me, and that's what I pray. And that's what I want you to do, God. I know what's best for me, and I think that's what you should be doing when I pray. And sometimes, therefore, my prayers are not answered because I'm not praying in God's will. God's will is much bigger than that. God's will is much greater, much deeper than that. And that's why I need the Holy Spirit interceding. That's why I need the Holy Spirit leading me to a point where deep in my heart, I want to do God's will above anything else. And so until I get to that point, and it may be a long time coming, until I get to that point, the Holy Spirit edits my weak words to bring me into line. A couple of examples. Paul in the book of Acts, he had a vision to go preach. He wanted to go east. What, is east that way? Whatever. He wanted to go east to preach. But that wasn't what God's will was. And the Holy Spirit closed the door for him. Paul went west instead. You see, Paul too had his own ideas. He knew what he wanted to do. But God had a different plan. And Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was guided to God's plan. And our prayers need gradually to be shaped towards God's will. Like someone else's prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, remember Jesus' prayer? You know, he wanted to avoid the cross. He didn't fancy that one little bit. But in the end, his prayer came in line as well. And he said, not my will, but yours. And that's where we need to get to in our prayer life. We need to get to the point where, with the Holy Spirit's guidance, with the Holy Spirit's inspiration, we get to the point where in our prayers we are able to say, not my will, but your will. So the Holy Spirit shapes our prayer life. And just like he shapes other aspects of our lives, he's shaping the prayer life for God's purposes. Verse 28. And what is that purpose? Well, ultimately, verse 29 tells us what that purpose is. It's actually to make us more like Jesus. To make you and me more like Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. When he takes our weak words, where he takes our weak prayers, where he takes perhaps our self-centered prayers, and he tweaks them. He speaks on our behalf. He edits them to bring them into line with God's will. Because making us more like Jesus is what God predestined for us. That's what he planned all along. The people that he knew would respond to his call, verse 30. The people that he knew would respond to his call and were put right with God, justified, verse 30. And we who God has always planned to bring to glory. That's what God's purpose in all of this is. That's what he's doing. He's bringing us to the point where we are like Jesus. We're transformed. We're changed. We're more like Jesus. If Christ is in you, he says earlier in this chapter, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. And he says it similarly in Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's where we're heading, folks. That's what the promise is. To glory. And that's what the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and in my life. In all sorts of areas, but today, particularly this morning, we're thinking about our prayer lives. And the Holy Spirit is there, actively involved, passionately involved in your prayers, shaping and moving and moving us forward with the ultimate goal, the hope of glory. So, specifically, in our prayers, we find the sovereign God responding to the Spirit's cry on our behalf. We find him turning everything around to bring it into line with God's will. Turning everything around to bring it into line with God's will. For our best, for good, eventually. Good, eventually. That's the promise. When all the groaning of creation, all the groaning of the people of God, and the deep groaning in our prayers come to an end in the restoration of God, restoration of God's creation, the salvation of his people, when you and I will be glorified in God's kingdom. So the Holy Spirit's work in our prayer life is important, and it's part of the chain of God changing us to be more like Christ and to live our lives more in line with God's will. Lord, I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.